Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah. And as always, if you're listening for the first time, welcome, and we're so happy that you found us. I'm so happy that you're here. If you are a returning listener, welcome back. I'm so glad that you're here again, and thank you again for joining me. As with prior weeks, we will once again be looking at the lectionary text assigned for this week, August 21st, 2016. And I always try to explain a little bit for those of you who might be joining me for the first time that the lectionary texts are assigned readings that a lot of churches use. They're assigned readings for each Sunday in the church year, and they're in a three-year cycle. So you get assigned readings over a three-year period. And those readings are always from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the New Testament, and the Gospels. This episode itself is split into two parts, and in this first part, we'll be talking about the Old Testament reading from Isaiah 58, as well as Psalm 103. If you join me for either or both of last week's episodes, you'll know, you might remember, that I have a bit of a love-hate relationship sometimes with the lectionary, and last week was one of those love-hate relationship with the texts that were assigned. Maybe not even so much love. Maybe it was more of a grudging appreciation, if that's a thing, a grudging appreciation hate relationship. And that's because last week's texts were hard, and they really made me wrestle with the Word of God that was presented in them. And while this is never terribly enjoyable, I mean, it's hard. Wrestling can be hard, right? And wrestling with the Word of God when we aren't sure exactly what it's trying to tell us can be difficult. But when I do that, I always end up learning something new about God, about the text, about my faith, about so many different things. So something good does always come out of wrestling with that word. That's why it's a grudging appreciation slash hate relationship, because I really hate when those texts come up because they do make me ask questions and struggle and wonder. But then the grudging appreciation is, oh, right, thank you, God. This does actually make me also learn something new. I'm happy, though, that the texts assigned for this week are a little bit easier, and the Old Testament texts that we'll be talking about in this first half of the episode are really quite lovely. The Isaiah text is about Sabbath and what that means, and the Psalm is one of thanksgiving and praise. And I'm really excited to get started with this week's discussion, but first we do have to take a quick break, and when we come back we'll be talking about this week's text from Isaiah, so stay tuned and we will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. The first week that we will be discussing today is from Isaiah 58, verses 9b through 14, and that reads as follows. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually, and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, you shall raise up the foundations of many generations, you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And again, that is the text for this week from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 9b through 14. And you can see that, again, as I mentioned in the introduction, this is talking about Sabbath and how we go about keeping that day or whether we keep it. And one of my Old Testament professors from seminary had a commentary on this section of Isaiah. And he writes, his name is Dr. James Lindbergh, and he writes, While today's text is found in the book of Isaiah, and this will just give you a little bit more context about the chapter or the verses that we just read, he says, while today's text is found in the book of Isaiah, these words are not associated with the prophet Isaiah, who worked in Jerusalem in the 700s BCE. Most of the material in the first part of the Isaiah book, chapters 1 through 39, does come from that period. But biblical scholarship has demonstrated that chapters Isaiah 40 through 66 are clearly from a later time. Jerusalem, destroyed in 587 BCE, lay in ruins. Cyrus the Persian, who captured Babylon in 539 BCE, is on the scene. The Jewish people are in Babylon. As we study chapters 40 through 66, we discover that the people have returned from exile in Babylon and are now a small group gathered around Jerusalem, hoping to get the temple rebuilt for worship, a wall put around the city for security, and religion back into the lives of all the people. And Dr. Lindberg goes on to say that if we read Isaiah 58 carefully, we see that the community to whom it is addressed is having issues. So we just read verses 9b through 14, and I want to backtrack a little bit and read 1 through 8 so that we get a better picture of this chapter 58 in Isaiah. And those verses read, "Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" So again, we read from verses 9 through 14 at the beginning, and now these are verses 1 through 8, and you can see that we're really setting up this conversation about what is going on, about how the people are keeping or not keeping the Sabbath. And from these verses, we can see that their relationship with God wasn't as it should have been. First, in these verses, they complain to God. They say, "Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why do we humble ourselves, but you do not notice?" And God answers, "Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high." So the people are complaining that they are fasting, that they are keeping the Sabbath as they are supposed to, but God isn't paying attention. And God replies that they are using the Sabbath in inappropriate ways. And they also spend the day arguing and full of hypocrisy. So they're not in right relationship with God. They're not treating the Sabbath as they should be. And neither are they in right relationship with their neighbor. The community's relationship to their neighbor was not what it should be. Wealthy citizens were oppressing their workers and were not paying them minimum wages. And Dr. Lindberg points that out, that it's in verses 6 through 7. He says, "People with property and money should be caring for the hungry and the homeless in their community, but they neglected them. Neglecting worship and day-by-day religion, commercializing the Sabbath, not caring for the poor and needy, such was the situation this prophet had to address." The prophet is addressing the community's lack of following the Sabbath properly. And actually, the Hebrew word for Sabbath literally means stop. which I find fascinating. The literal translation of the word for Sabbath literally means stop. And when I think, when you think about Sabbath and you think about that word, stop, when I think about Sabbath, I often think about when I was little, I loved the Little House on the Prairie books. I read them over and over, and I was obsessed with Laura and Little House on the Prairie. And in, I think it was in the first one, in Little Cabin in the Big Woods, where they describe how they spent their Sundays. It may have been one in one of the other books, but there's a description in one of those books of how they spent their Sabbath, how they spent their Sundays. And this was the day of rest, and they weren't supposed to be engaged in work. And to me, it sounded like absolute torture, because first, Pa would read to them from the Bible, and then they had to spend the day sitting quietly and reading. They weren't supposed to fidget, and while they could hold their dolls, they couldn't actually play with them. And so I remember thinking as a kid, that just sounded awful. And the crazy thing is that I loved to read as a kid. I could sit for hours and read, but this still sounded torturous, an entire day where that's what I was forced to do. I couldn't play, I couldn't run, I couldn't talk in a loud voice, etc. They were literally forced to stop. And in some ways, you know, that's great. It made them slow down. It made that them take that day of rest. But I remember thinking still, I'm so glad my family doesn't keep the Sabbath like this. The law of the Sabbath seemed like way too much. And all I could see at that point in my life was the law. I couldn't see any gospel. You know, not that I would have phrased it like that as a kid, but I could definitely see the law, but I wasn't seeing the gospel. I wasn't seeing that slowing down, that taking time, the time to not work and to let your body relax and rejuvenate. In the context of Isaiah, keeping the Sabbath was primarily an expression of faith in God's abundance. Every living being rests on the Sabbath because God has made enough for everyone. It's easy to get wrapped up in the law of Sabbath keeping and the prohibitions, like I was just talking about, you know, my feelings as a small child. It's easy to get wrapped up in the things that we're not allowed to do, that we're not supposed to do. But that's actually missing the point of Sabbath. Sabbath is not for the sake of prohibition, but for the sake of every living creature enjoying a day of rest. Every living creature is to have enough. And in that case, every living creature can then afford to take a day of rest during the week. So you can see, when you look at it this way, how Sabbath is, at its heart, an issue of justice, of ensuring that everyone has enough so that everyone can then enjoy a time of rest and rejuvenation. And the text from Isaiah, if you remember what we read earlier, says, "If you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail." And on that lovely image of that watered garden, we do actually have to take a quick break. But when we come back, we'll be talking more about this text from Isaiah and more about what it means to keep the Sabbath holy and appropriately. And then we'll be moving on to the psalm for this week. So stay tuned and we will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about the text from Isaiah 58 and our relationship with God and our relationship with the Sabbath. And we were reading that section from from the verses that we read in Isaiah this morning, that the Lord will guide us continually and satisfy our needs in parched places and make our bones strong, and we shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. And this is what happens when we keep the Sabbath appropriately, according to the text from Isaiah. And that's because Sabbath is a symbiotic relationship between God and God's community, where everyone works toward the goal of everyone having enough. And then God provides healing and rest, which are the gifts of Sabbath. Sabbath is a combination of law and grace. When we follow the law, we receive the gift of grace and healing. And remember that grace is never the result of whether or not we follow the law perfectly, whether we do the things on our checklist. We have that gift of grace regardless, but our relationship with God is always reciprocal. Because we have been given grace, because we've been given the love of God, then we in turn want to do these things. We in turn share that grace and that love with others, and that's how then we honor the Sabbath when everyone has enough so that they can have a Sabbath as well. Sabbath is about rest and rejuvenation, because we all need to find time in our lives when we can take a break from the everyday hecticness of our everyday affairs. We need that time where we can restore our energies. And it doesn't always have to be on Sunday. For instance, you know, pastors who work on Sundays take another day of the week for their Sabbath, that time to rest and rejuvenate and find their center once again. The challenge is to remember that the concept of Sabbath is also based on justice, as we see here in Isaiah, and it is based on everyone in the community having enough, being healed, being seen. If we take Sabbath to rest only to use our newly restored energies to continue the status quo and to continue refusing to see those in our midst who are in need of healing or who are in need of protection or who are in need of basic necessities, then we're missing the point of Sabbath. Because keeping Sabbath is not simply about getting time off. It's not about personal indulgence. Keeping Sabbath is a means of participating in the freedom of the children of God. And that's what I was saying earlier, that, you know, we always have that gift of grace. We always have God's love, but then we are freed through that love, through that grace. We are freed to then help our neighbor. We're freed to participate in the love of our neighbor, to ensure that everyone is able to participate freely in the gifts of Sabbath. When we are in relationship with God, everything works as it should. And verses 8 and 9, which lead into today's text, demonstrate that symbiotic relationship. Those verses again read, "Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" When we're in relationship with God, everything works as it should. We have faith that when we are in distress, we can call out to God, and God will reply with, Here I am. God is always there waiting on us, waiting to be in relationship with us, waiting to share God's love with us. And that loving response, that "Here I am," frees us to say the same thing to our neighbors, to ensure that everyone has enough so everyone can enjoy the rest and rejuvenation of Sabbath. When we have that space for rest and rejuvenation, we then have time to reflect on the amazing things that God has done in our lives. And that's the theme of this week's psalm, so I think that's a good transition into this week's psalm. We've been talking about Sabbath and giving us when everyone has enough, when Sabbath is treated as an issue of justice and everyone has enough, so everyone has that space for rest and rejuvenation, then we have time and space and the ability to reflect on the amazing things that God has done in our lives. And again, this is the theme of this week's psalm, which is Psalm 103, verses 1 through 8. And those read, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his way to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And again, that was Psalm 103, verses 1 through 8. And this is a psalm of thanksgiving and praise, one where the psalmist is rejoicing in everything that God has done throughout history, not only in the psalmist's life, but throughout the history of the people and God's relationship with the people. And one of the commentaries that I read this week was from Adam Harrelson, assistant professor of preaching and worship at Andover Newton Theological School in Newton Center, Massachusetts. And he writes that this psalm is an outburst of praise and awe from the very center of the psalmist. It is a cry of joy from the nephesh, the deepest well of the psalmist's being. This shout then turns quickly to a catalog of blessings that God has wrought. Between the cry of thanksgiving and the introduction of the heavenly resume, the psalmist lifts up a warning. Do not forget all of God's blessings. And he says that we as humans have a complicated relationship with memory. He says we're the only species that has conceived of history and has made any attempt to catalog that history for the sake of remembering it. And I love what he says here. He says, the whale does not care about yesterday. The jackal is not plagued by regret. The mollusk does not write poetry or does not write books for posterity's sake. I don't know, for some reason that line just cracks me up. The mollusk does not write books for posterity's sake. I don't know what a mollusk would write about, but I might read that book just to find out. At any rate, he says that our worship and enjoyment of God requires memory. To forget the past is to compromise our ability to glorify God. He says, between each verse of the psalm is a whole library of stories. So the psalmist is remembering all of these things. This is only 8 verses. But between those verses, Harrelson writes, is a whole library of things, is a whole set of stories that can be read into those. You know when you say reading between the lines, and that's exactly what we're doing. We can read between the lines of this psalm and see all of the things that the psalmist is wanting us to remember about God's amazing acts throughout history. And another commentary that I read this week was from Nancy DeClasse Walford, who is a professor of Old Testament and Biblical Languages at McAfee School of Theology, Mercer University in Atlanta, Georgia. And she says that Psalm 103 is classified as an individual hymn of thanksgiving. And you can understand that because, again, this is the psalmist giving thanks and praise. She says it's a psalm in which a single voice praises God for goodness to or on behalf of that individual, usually for deliverance from some trying situation. And she also refers to that Hebrew word nephesh, and I'm going to spell that for you, N-E-P-H-E-S-H. Nephesh is how I pronounce it phonetically. I don't guarantee that's how it's actually pronounced. But she says that it's usually translated as soul, but is better understood as inmost being, the all of a person, of who a person is. And so in those first couple of verses, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all of his benefits. You could actually boil this psalm down to those two verses. With your entire being, bless God. With all that is within you, bless God's holy name. And with all of your entire being, with everything that is in you, also do not forget the benefits of God. Do not forget what God has done, not only throughout history, but also in your own life. And Dr. Lindberg, who I mentioned in association to the Isaiah text, also had commentary on this, on the Psalms, this psalm for today. And he says that the expression, bless the Lord, O my soul, that frames both this psalm and Psalm 104, has the sense of a charge to oneself. Now praise the Lord. Instead of saying, remember the good things God has done, as in Psalm 104 and 105, he says, this psalm says, don't forget what God has done. It is one thing for a busy husband or wife to forget a birthday or an anniversary. It may be that it is even easier for an overstressed citizen of the 21st century to forget about God. Moses preached, take care that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And that's Deuteronomy 6, verse 12. Or, you forgot the God who gave you birth. Also Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 18. He says that after, or so he's saying that we should bless the Lord, that we should not, that instead of saying remember the good things, that we should not forget. Don't forget what God has done. And we might think, well, how would we forget something like that? That's that God's done some pretty amazing things in our life. But with everything, it's easy to take those things for granted. And I want to talk more about this, but we do have to take one more break. And when we come back, we'll be finishing up with Psalm 103. So stay tuned and we will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about Psalm 103. And after last week's texts, as I mentioned in the intro to this episode, where I really struggled with last week's text, I think that this psalm, Psalm 103, is a delightful breath of fresh air because it's really a lovely psalm. And yet, it also reminds us to remain in active relationship with God, this time by remembering or don't forget. Remember, there's that difference between remembering and don't forget. It tells us don't forget everything that God has done for us. As Dr. Lindbergh notes, the psalmist reminds us of the everyday benefits that God gives, such as forgiveness, healing, saving from hell or the pit, and then capping it all off with steadfast love, which in Hebrew is the word chesed, capping it all off with steadfast love and mercy. And then like an infomercial, you can say, but wait, there's more. Don't forget that God satisfies you with a lifetime of good things and even provides you with those times of renewal when you feel strong and vigorous and once again young. The imagery here, he says, is heroic, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. And so if we look at it that way, don't forget that God satisfies you with a lifetime of good things and even provides you with those times of renewal. That takes us right back to Sabbath, right back to what we were talking about in the Isaiah text. And because this psalm is a breath of fresh air, because it's really quite lovely and gives us these beautiful images, I do want to read the rest of the verses that we didn't read for today. So we read the first eight, and this is from verse 9 on, and that says, He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we were dust. As for mortals, their days are like the grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. To those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And I think I might be a little bit in love with this psalm. It's really been a balm for my soul after last week's text wrestling, which actually is kind of how life and relationship and faith works when you think about it. Because there are those times when we wrestle and struggle and don't know what to say. And then something lovely comes along and gives us a little respite from that. A little light for our darkness, a little hope in the midst of despair. And it's these moments, whether big or little, the psalmist is telling us to remember, because those moments come from God. And you can see how in this second part of the psalm, the psalmist outlines even more of those things for which we can be grateful. And some of the things that the psalmist is grateful for are the saving acts of God throughout Israel's history. And in that first part that we did read at the beginning of this section, the psalmist alludes to Moses. He alludes to this history when he mentions Moses. He talks about the Exodus, all the things that God did to help God's people throughout history, throughout all of those stories in the Old Testament. And those are our stories as well, stories of how God has worked throughout history, has been involved in the lives of God's people throughout time. And then when we move into the New Testament, we get the stories and examples of Jesus, and stories and examples from the letters and all the other books in the New Testament talking about Jesus and Jesus's ministry. And there we have more proof of God's love and God's saving power in the world. But the stories don't just stop with Jesus. They don't just stop because they aren't written down in the Bible. The stories continued, and we are called to remember them, because while we might not have all the dramatic moments of God's saving stories, we might not have those moments in our life that are as big and dramatic as the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, or really anything from the entire Exodus story. We do have all these stories. We do all have these moments in our lives where God has been present, and God has helped us overcome adversity or saved us from whatever it was that was tormenting us in our life, or whatever situation we were trying to deal with in that moment. And I wonder, what are those moments for you? Do you have those moments in your life? I would actually love to hear from you. What are those moments for you? I think for me, whenever I remember the places that I have seen God's work in my life most clearly, I tend to think of and see the people that were involved in my life at those moments. Last week, if you joined me, we talked about the great cloud of witnesses from the New Testament lesson of Hebrews. And those are the people in our lives who lead by example and encourage us in our lives of faith. And these are often those very people who bring light to our darkness, who do God's saving work in this world, sometimes even without knowing that's what they're doing. And so when I think of those people and those moments in my life, I think of people like my nieces, who never fail to make me smile when I need it the most. I have 5 nieces, so when I'm around them, I get to smile a lot. I also think of my parents, who have been unfailingly supportive to me throughout my life, and who have provided comfort and support and encouragement, advice. They've provided shoves and nudges and redirections and whatever else I have needed in the times when I have needed it. They're always there for me. They are definitely how I see God's love in my life a lot of times. I think of my friends and my mentors from seminary who have always sought to live out their lives and their calls to the best of their abilities, and who provide examples for me in my own life. I can look to them and see how they have dealt with situations, and I can see how God has been at work in their lives, and so I can remember God's saving work even through the stories of my friends. I think about those times when I have been at my lowest, whether emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially, in terms of relationship, etc. I mean, there's all kinds of areas in our lives where we can feel desperate or low or grief-stricken. And those times always seem endless in the moment. And yet, God is with us even at those times, whether we realize it or not. It can often feel like God isn't there in those times because we're so mired in our own grief, we're so mired in our own misery that we can't see beyond it. We can't see beyond the situation that we're involved in at that point. But God is there. And then when I look back on those moments, I can see many instances of the glimmers of light in the darkness that I had in those experiences. And that's God working through our lives, whether it's through a person or through an experience or whatever it is. When we see that light in our darkness, that is God working through our lives. And that is what the psalmist is telling us that we should not forget. You know, in those dark times, did things work out immediately after those glimmers of light in the darkness? No, not usually. because life doesn't usually work like that. But God was with me during those times, and especially in those moments when I saw that glimmer of light, and God's love and saving presence were at work in my life, most often through those people around me, like I mentioned before. I think this is why I like reading spiritual memoirs so much. Authors like Anne Lamott or Shauna Nyquist or Donald Miller or a bunch of others whose names are escaping me at the moment, but who tell their stories with honesty and humor and show how they've had experience with God in their lives. They tell of the times when they saw God at work in their lives, and then their stories give me hope as well. It's not just our own stories. Obviously, if we're looking to the Old Testament, to the Exodus stories, to the story of Noah, to the story of Abraham and Sarah, and the stories of Jesus and his followers, everyone's stories can show us God, and we have to remember where God is at work in our lives. And the stories of God's love and God's saving power are everywhere. They're all around us if we just remember to look, if we don't forget to think about God's place in our lives. This week's psalm reminds us to look for and to give praise for those acts and for God's presence in our lives. And that's where I'm going to leave you this week, because we are now out of time. But I'm going to encourage you to join me this week in looking for God in your life and giving praise for all the amazing examples of God's love when you do notice them. Be like the psalmist. Bless the Lord with your entire being. And don't forget all of the things that God has done for you in your life. I want to thank you for joining me as we discuss these readings from Isaiah 58 and Psalm 103 that were assigned for this week of August 21st, 2016. I hope you'll join me again tomorrow as we move to the New Testament readings from Hebrews 12 and Luke chapter 13. As a reminder, always, you can find all of the Golden State Media Concepts podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download our podcasts on iTunes, on Google Play, and SoundCloud, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. Twitter and Instagram were GSMC_Bible Study, and on Tumblr were GSMC-Bible Study. So I'd love to hear from you on social media if you're on social media in any way. As always, thank you for joining me, and always remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God.